Thank you, Isaac. Thank you. Thank you for worshiping with us today. We're glad you're here, guests and members. If you're a guest today, I would love the opportunity to meet you. If I haven't had that opportunity yet, I'll be at this door to my right as you exit the worship center today after the service. And I would love the opportunity just to meet you and thank you for welcoming or for welcome you and thank you for visiting with us here at Grace Point Church this morning. A couple of things before we get started. Jeff mentioned the youth are well and Glorietta, things are going well there, so they'll travel back Tuesday. So I want to just encourage you to keep that on your mind and just continue to pray for them. We'll hear next Sunday a little bit in the service about their time at youth camp. And then next Sunday after this service, after the second service, we'll have a reception for Amy Petit. Amy, who has served here really with me from the start of the church, is our preschool children's director 13 years ago. As you know, as a church, she shared that she is stepping down as a preschool and children's director, just needs a season in their family where she feels like she needs to be there even more. And so she's prayed about that for a long time. And so now the time has come for that. And so we'll be having her out in the lobby next Sunday after this service, just a time, kind of a reception that you can thank her, express your appreciation to her. You might want to bring a card or something and just to say thank you and for all the years of service. Good news is that she and Kyle, Cheney Berkeley Sawyer will still be, you'll still see them around. They'll be a part of our fellowship. You'll see them on Sundays. But we wanted to take just a time just to say thank you to Amy for all that she's done. And youth camp also, I want to mention, I don't know if Shelly's here or not today. She's probably passed out because of all the work she had to do to prepare for youth camp. But Shelly Dupas, I think next week they'll probably mention, works in our office. And she worked, I just want to mention, she worked endless hours in getting youth camp and the kids ready and all the details to get them going. And there was a lot, you know, when you take that many kids. So we'll mention her next week. But if you know her and see her, thank her, because man, without her, we couldn't have pulled that thing off. So she spent a lot of hours. So I'm thankful for Shelly and all that she did to get the kiddos ready to go. Safe journeys there. And we just pray safe journeys back also. Okay, here's what I want to do. I'm going to finish what I started last week. If you have your takeaways, if you'd like to follow along, four takeaways. And last week I did the first one. And I'll finish today. I'll spend most of the time on takeaway number two, just touch on three and four. And then next week, I'll go back into 1 John chapter 3, and we'll pick up kind of where I left off. The reason I did this message was because one of the things that I've noticed in 1 John that continually he writes about is for the believers to abide in God. Abide in God, right? And over we've talked about that. And so as I was kind of thinking through that, I began to think about how, take a big, kind of a big picture view, you know, how do we abide? And so what I did is I really wrote this message around four scripture passages that will help us abide faithfully in Christ. The four scripture passages, as I shared last week, Colossians 3, Acts 2, John 14, Matthew 15. We did Colossians 3 last week. And I shared with you last week, takeaway number one, the most satisfying things this side of heaven are not found on the lower shelf. And I shared a story about that. And then I shared Colossians 3, 1 and 2, to where we are to seek the things above, to set our minds on things above. That when we start setting and seeking in things below, more so than things above, number one, we don't find that purpose and satisfaction, and then we're not abiding in Christ. When we set and seek the things below, it keeps us from abiding. So I said last week, Colossians 3 helps us faithfully abide in Christ. And we really kind of springboard from 1 John 2, 15 and 16, that particular takeaway where he talks about the love of the world, right? And so we are shifting our focus away from the things of the world, and we're seeking and setting the things of God above. And we talked about passion, right? And I said to you that we're passionate about a lot of things in this world, and I gave some examples of that. And I said also, let me just remind you, I'm not saying we shouldn't be passionate about things. I think it's okay to be passionate about things. The problem comes when we become more passionate about created things than the one who created those things. When we become more passionate about the things of the world than we are about the things of God and God himself, that's when we start to lose our focus. That's when we're not abiding in Christ. So now, if you want to follow along, I'm going to go to takeaway number two. There are a lot of scripture passages on this card, but because of time, they're all supporting texts of the four foundational ones that I've kind of been sharing. But I'm not going to have time to go through all these, so they're there if you want to do your own study time. But just for time's sake, I'll probably just hit the main scripture passages for these takeaways this morning. So takeaway number two, when we're thinking about abiding in Christ, is the big picture, right? Takeaway number two is this: the people you run with will greatly influence your relationship to the one with whom you walk. I'm talking about Jesus. The people you run with will greatly influence your relationship with Jesus. They will either draw you, encourage you into relationship, or they will pull you away from abiding in Christ. It's going to be one of the two. So choose wisely. And sometimes it happens, we don't even realize it, that we may be getting pulled away. It may be a gradual shift because we're not surrounding ourselves with believers and having those close friendships with those that are believers in Christ. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to talk a little bit about community today, and then I'll be talking about this probably throughout the rest of this year. We'll come back to it. I think this is really key and important for our church as we think about the community of Grace Point Church and as we think about creating even more connection and community among us as believers. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, let me just read through verse 47. Here's what it says. And they devoted themselves, so there's commitment, all right, devotion, to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Right, that's a community. This is a biblically functioning community. They were selling what they had because others in the community of believers had needs. And they wanted those needs to be met. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, here's the result. Here's where we're going. Here's really what we want to see God do among us, all right? And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So I think our community, that community of believers, as they begin relating together as a biblically functioning community, unbelievers saw that happening, and God used that as one way to draw them unto himself, as they saw how they will know that you're my disciples by the way you act to one another, love one another. So as this community, as they were a biblically functioning community, God was using that biblically functioning community to advance the gospel, and people were being saved. That's how it works. When we began to minister to one another, when we began to, as a community, God uses that as we love one another. God uses that, right, to draw people and to advance the gospel and for people. Now, God ultimately saves, no question. But as people see the biblically functioning community of Grace Point Church, not only does it minister to you and me as a community of believers, but it sends a message to the unbelieving world about who God is. And that's what was happening here. The people you run with. So I'm hoping and praying that the people you run with are the people that are here. Now, certainly, you have others. That's good, too. But they're believers in Christ, right? And if you're part of Grace Point Church, that you are a part of this biblically functioning community. And you are ministering to others. You're serving. We'll talk about this down the road. But also, you know, God is using the community of believers to minister to you. The people you run with will greatly influence your relationship to the one you walk with, talking about Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 in the ESV says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." In the NIV, I think it is, bad company corrupts good character. That's why we said to our kids, all four of them, and we still preach it, and I probably will forever. We cared when they were younger, and even now they're older, but we cared about who they were running with. We cared. We fought that battle. We chose to die on that hill. You know why? Because what the Bible says, not what I, as their dad, am going to yell at them about. Because of what the Bible says. It's not just me as a parent saying, this is what I think. I'm saying this is what the Bible says, that I don't care how good you are, if you're running with people that are not believers, they will corrupt you. It's clear. There's no argument about it. So as parents, let's just remember that. This biblical truth. Who they're running with will dramatically influence their abiding in Christ or not abiding in Christ. Right now, it's true for us as adults, not just kids. I think it's for both, for all of us. I would just say huge among kids because I see it all so constantly. You know, kids that were good kids and then they go off the rails. And as I've told you before, it always starts with, they started hanging out with this. Right here. Right? And then for us as adults. Right? Now we know that it's so we're careful about. Now, I want you to hear this all the way through. I'm not saying we should just not even talk to or be around people that are not saved. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is when it comes to our deep friendships, when it comes to these foundational friendships, that these people must be believers in Christ. Because you're going to be asking them for counsel. You're going to be asking them for encouragement. And you want it to come from a biblical perspective, right? Not, well, let me tell you what the world says. We don't want that from what the world says. We want it from what God says, from what God's word says, and people that are going to pray for you, and people that are going to come alongside you, and see people that are going to encourage you. We all know it's easier to pull someone down than it is to pull them up. I read this a few weeks ago and wrote it down. When people try to pull you into their nonsense, repeat these words, not my circus and not my monkeys. Right? Not my circus. Now, that doesn't mean you don't help people in need, okay? I'm talking about when they try to pull you into their nonsense. But here's the deal. If I were to have a person standing down here, even a younger, an elementary age person, and I grabbed that person's hand, it would be easier, even though I'm bigger, for them to pull me down than it would be for me to pull them up, right? And that's what happens. We may think, okay, that's why you have to be careful because you can easily slide and not even realize it. So just be careful about who you're running with. Be careful about who you're hanging out with at work. Be careful about who you're getting counsel from. Because that will greatly impact your relationship and You abiding in Christ. Acts chapter 2, community. So God has put in us this desire for relationship and fellowship. Now, I know that some people, some desire that more than others, but you know, I believe biblically that God has placed in us a desire so that we don't, he never meant for us to live in isolation. Now, some people may not, need that as much or desire that as much. You know, the introvert, extrovert thing, we've talked about that, right? But at some level, we all desire that. That fellowship, that connection, those relationships. I read about aspiring actor named Chuck McCarthy. He began a side job to try to make ends meet, as many actors do. He decided he would be a people walker. For people who wanted to walk, he said, but not walk alone. His ad in the paper read, it's true, true story, I walk humans for $7 a mile around parks and streets near my home. He goes on to say he's pioneering an alternative to dog walking that requires no leash, just the ability to walk, talk, and listen. His slogan is, with Chuck, you never walk alone. Now, it sounds kind of weird, but as of June of this year, he is currently booked out the rest of the year and into 2019. So far out that he says, now I have to hire and train people walkers because there's so much business. You know why? Because God's put that in our hearts to be connected, to have relationship with people. Right, this is Acts 2. This is us as a church, as a community of believers. We come alongside one another, encourage one another in community with one another. One writer says, the experience of authentic community is one of the purposes God intends to be fulfilled by the church. The writings of Scripture lead one to conclude that God intends the church not to be one more bolt on the wheel of activity in our lives, but the very hub at the center of one's life. Amen. It's not just another activity. That's where we get into problem. That's when we're not abiding. He wants us to abide daily. Constantly, that we begin to see. And that's what I want to encourage you today. And as we progress through the rest of 1 John, as I keep coming back to community, the community of Grace Point Church, building community here. What does that look like? Well, first thing we see is that it's not just one more bolt on the wheel. Now we begin to look at the community of believers. You know, first and foremost, God at the center of our community, okay? But church is not just another, man, it's the hub at the center of one's life, okay? And that's not to take the place of God. I'm not saying that in any way. But I'm saying it's not just another activity, that this becomes foundational to our lives. And then it becomes foundational to the lives of your children. That the trajectory of your children's lives is radically altered for the good because you began to see the importance of church, this community of believers and church in your life. And so they engage and they go on youth camps and they go on children's camps and they do Disciple Nows and they come on Wednesdays and they come on Sundays and it becomes their life. And then their life is altered for the good radically by the gospel, and so the direction of their life is radically changed. Why? Because they've surrounded themselves with other believers. They've surrounded themselves with the community of Grace Point Church, and that dramatically has influenced them. And I've seen the direction of kids' lives that choose not to do that too. And so understand the importance of this, that who they run with dramatically impacts. And the same is true for us as believers. So as a community, we recognize that God has brought us together, and we want to encourage one another, pray for one another, walk with one another as believers in Christ, as a community of believers. We come together because, you see, nobody should go through the loss of a loved one alone. Nobody should go through cancer alone. Nobody should go through a loss of a job alone. Nobody should go through depression alone. Nobody should go through divorce alone. This is what we as a community of believers are called to do, is to come alongside one another. There's a story. It was last year, matter of fact, July, about this time last year. Panama City, Florida. It was supposed to be a quick trip to the beach, but the Saturday afternoon diversion to the water almost ended in unspeakable tragedy for Roberta Ursary and her family. So in summary, and I'll take some excerpts from this, she was out with her family swimming in the ocean there. She came back in. When she turned around, she noticed her sons were much further out than she had remembered. So she kind of walked more towards into the water, and as she did, she could hear them screaming. And she says they were screaming and crying that they were stuck. This riptide had taken them out. They couldn't get back in because of the riptide. Unwilling to watch them drown, she and her family began to swim out to them. But the people on the beach were telling them, don't go out there. You will get stuck too. But she said, I was unwilling to watch them drown. So she and her family swam out to them. But the rip current was much stronger than they realized. And despite their best efforts to escape, they were trapped as well. All in all, Ursary said 9 people were stuck in about 15 feet of water. She said, I honestly thought I was going to lose my life and my family that day. It was like, oh God, this is how I'm going. But people on the beach saw what was happening. And some knew that they couldn't swim out, although they had called for the lifeguards and others, but they couldn't wait. They had believed they couldn't wait to get out there as they were trying to stay out there in 15 feet plus of water. And so what they decided to do was to form a human chain to reach him. And I brought some pictures. This is actual pictures of that human chain. You can't see it all because I couldn't get the whole, but from the, yeah, that's as they're coming back in. That's right near the end. And then go to one more. I think that's fine. Now just leave it right there. So you can't see how far it goes out, right? But it says this, the human chain grew with 80 people stretching over 100 yards out to the distressed swimmers. Now listen to this, okay? Some of them in the chain couldn't swim, but wanted to help. And so they stayed in the shallows. Others stood in water up to their necks, waiting for Simmons and her husband to cover the last few feet so they could pass the swimmers to the shore. One by one, she says, starting with the children, Simmons and her husband, along with a few other rescuers, towed the swimmers to the human chain, who then pulled them all to shore. I don't know about you, man, when I see that chain right there, I want to be on that chain. I want to be in there. Literally helping save lives. She says it was the most remarkable thing I see, these people who don't even know each other, and they trust each other that much to get them to safety. Now, here's what she says. I'll finish this part. I'm so grateful, she said. These people were God's angels, and they were in the right place at the right time. I owe my life and my family's life to them. She said this, I am confident that if they had not joined together and locked arms, I would not be alive today. Man. If they had not joined together and locked arms, I would not be alive today. And that's what we as a church need to be about. I'm not talking about literally, locking arms or holding a chain, but figuratively speaking. We see people in our community and beyond, right, in need, and we connect with others to, figuratively speaking, swim out to them. Because they can't do it themselves. Because they're struggling. They're hurting. They're going through this difficult time. They don't know if they're going to make it, right? And so that's Acts 2, what we as a church, that's what we're called to do. Because nobody should go through cancer alone. Nobody should go through the loss of a loved one alone. Nobody should lose a job and go through it alone. Nobody should go through depression alone. Nobody should go through divorce alone. We need each other. We need this Acts 2 community around us. Not just to help us in terms of growing spiritually, which is what happens, right? But also to be able to meet the needs of other people. And here's the great thing about it. As you minister to others, there's times when God will use you to swim out, so to speak, and to minister to other people. And then there's going to be times when people swim out to you and minister to you. This is the way the body works. This is the way the community works. At a community of believers where we can depend on each other in our time of struggle and also to encourage us in the faith. Takeaway number three. Let me give you three and four. And I'll just touch on these. Takeaway number three, the same God who did miracles in the past wants to do even greater things in the present. Now, let me use the context of miracle. I'm talking about salvation of souls. There are many other miracles where, you know, he can and will do. And I'm asking you, what are you boldly praying for? And I hope you're praying for bold prayers in your life and the life of your children and your family. And can keep doing that. The context of what I'm saying right here, though, is the miracle, because I think we would all agree that the greatest miracle we can see in this world is when God takes a spiritually dead person and, because of Jesus, makes them alive in Christ. Amen? That's the miracle. That's what I'm talking about right here. That's what was happening in Acts 2 as the community began to function biblically. What was the end result? Day by day, man, people were being saved. That's the miracle. That's a great work. And that's what we're praying for at Grace. That's one of my bold prayers, is that we see more of that miracle happening from lost people in our community and people who come in and visiting our church that haven't been saved. The same God who did miracles in the past wants to do even greater things in the present. John 14:12, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and even greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." And I think he's talking about the great miracle of the spiritually dead being made alive in Christ. The transforming work of God, of people being saved. And God using this community of believers to do that by the way that we love one another, by the way we encourage one another. When the church doesn't participate with Christ in the greater work of people coming to faith and becoming radically transformed servants of Christ, they naturally look for other evidences to convince themselves that the Lord is active and alive in the world today. So primarily, that's what we want to be pointing to, right? Is this greater work of people's lives being radically transformed and changed as they are born again. God has called us to make disciples. Let me go, I'm going to go two more scripture passages and then we'll pray, okay? And I'm taking a big swipe through here so it's not as fluid. When God does the miracle of saving someone, right? Or maybe even as he did other miracles in the Bible, there are many of them, right? Blind to see, lame to walk. Understand that the interaction Jesus had with people, even when he miraculously healed people or delivered them, he always called them to a greater dependence on him. Abiding. So he didn't do miracles just to show off, right? He did it ultimately for the glory of God. And then I think to draw people to a greater dependence. And so it then becomes an opportunity for us to point to God when we see him do these greater things and these greater works. He's called us ultimately to make disciples, to advance the gospel. I'm going to go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, "Go therefore," Jesus says, so the Great Commission and the words before he ascends, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." So that's our mission. So we're called to be on mission in everything we do, to make disciples, to advance the gospel. And here's what I believe. To see that accomplished, we are his plan A. And there is no plan B. I mean, I don't see it. Where God says, well, you know, if my people, then I'll go with. Right? So community, as we love one another, as we function biblically, we see God using that to save people, to transform. God saves people, uses us to do that at times, but ultimately God does that. We know that. And we're called to, let's not lose our focus, keep the main thing the main thing. We're called to advance the gospel of Grace Point Church, not just to minister to one another. Yes, we are, and we do that in community, but we're called to advance the gospel. That is our mission. Or plan A, to reach the world. I don't think he has a plan B. Takeaway number four, worship is not an hour on Sunday. It's a way of life. That's abiding in Christ. When we're abiding in Christ, we're worshiping. Worship was never intended to be only an hour of our week or a mere portion of our lives. It's an attitude of our heart. We come together and worship corporately, yes. But then even as we leave and go from this place, as believers, we have a spirit of worshiping God. We're reminded of the greatness of God and the holiness of God and the authority of God and the goodness of God and the, right, faithfully. And in that way, we're worshiping God. And so abiding is worshiping, certainly corporately, but then it becomes a way of life. What makes a church a worshiping church is not just what we do here for an hour on Sunday morning. Instead, it's defined by what we do the other 6 days and 23 hours of the week. By the lives we lead when we are not gathered in this corporate gathering. That we're called to live this life of worship tomorrow morning at work, and at school, and on the athletic field, and that's abiding in Christ is when we're worshiping. I'll finish with where's the hope, and I wrote a new one at the bottom there for this week, connecting with community. My hope is found in knowing that whatever I face, that whatever I face in life, I face with God and with others, the community of believers. That you don't have to face that alone. And so we begin to figure out how we, as Grace Point members and as a community, how we're going to swim out to those, so to speak, in their time of need, how we're going to form that change, how we're going to connect with others to meet those who are struggling and who may not make it. And then to reach the lost world, right, who are spiritually dead and continue, and us being able to reach that people group as a community of believers. I don't know, maybe someday, maybe people are already saying, if that church had not joined together and linked arms, I wouldn't be spiritually alive today. We're called to make disciples. I think we're just plan A. In Psalm 42, verse 5, I'll finish with this. Let's stand together. Will you stand with me? Let's just pray with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The beautiful truth of the gospel. The reason we have hope as believers here in this community. The tomb is still empty. Amen? That gives us hope. We have hope. We have hope. And as a community of believers, we find hope in knowing that whatever I face it with God and with these people in this room right here, shoulder to shoulder, standing together. And I know this church. I know that you would get in that water and you would be a part of that chain to reach those people who couldn't make it on their own. You would do that. You are that kind of church and that kind of people. So, Father, I pray you just help us to be just even more in tune and aware of those around us. Make our heart just sensitive to those maybe struggling. Give us eyes to see one another as you see. And then in our hearts, we move us to reach out to those struggling, to do what we can. Maybe it's just standing in the shallow end of the water. So will you just speak to us, Father, and what a blessing and a privilege you've given us to minister to those in need, to use us. And we'll be careful. We'll be careful as a church, as a people, and as a community of believers to always point people one that is true and greater. It's all, ultimately, it's so that we can point to you. It's for your glory. So we're praying for that. I'm praying, God, for greater things, for the transforming work of the gospel. To radically change the lives of people in this room and the people that aren't even in this room yet. But as we go and worship this week, as we love one another this week, as we function together as a biblical community this week, and people see and use us to speak the truth of the gospel, to invite people to come and to hear the message and to surrender their life to Jesus. Help us to just continue to reach outside of ourselves, God, to look outside of ourselves, to meet the needs of those that are hurting. Thank you, Father, that you made a way in Jesus. It's his name we pray these things. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, listen, friend, if you're here today and you want us to pray with you or for you, maybe you're walking through some challenging times, or maybe you just want to come and kneel at the altar or just be thankful for what God's done, or wherever you find yourself, we're here at the front. I'm here, other staff and elders, to pray for you and with you. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, I'll be here at the front, others, and we would love to lead you in that prayer. of salvation as you give your life, as you surrender your life to Christ. We invite you to come and let us share that with you and talk with you about that. Psalm 42, verse 5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." Thank you for the hope that you give us, Father. Just restore our hope and renew our faith as we choose just to abide and rest today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue to worship this morning.